Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway United Methodist Church, and I'd like to welcome you to this edition of our Walking with Jesus podcast. And I'm here with Elizabeth Tamakis. Say hi.
Hi. Hi.
Yeah, and we're glad to be here with you. And we're talking about a Bible verse we both like, and it has to do with not growing tired of doing good. And so. So I was going to read that for us here. It is out of Galatians chapter 6, and it's verse 9, and it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And I think I'll even read verse 10. "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Well, let's pray just a moment. Father, just do ask that you bless our conversation, bless those that hear today. Lord, we lift up the needs of the people and the community around us. Ask, Lord, that you help us to be salt and light and a hand of hope to the folks around. We just bring this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, Elizabeth, you've got some particular experience in well-doing, and in fact, the well-doing that makes us to be weary sometimes. And you were particularly talking about the drug court. So maybe tell us a little about that.
Right.
No much. Yeah.
Okay. Well, some of the people in the church have heard me talk about it, but it's a special part of my job that I do by choice. It's not something that all judges do, but we do it by choice. And it's meeting separately with a group of offenders who want to work on their recovery. Most of them will not only work on their recovery, but come out without the felony on their record. That's not true of all of them, but some of them. And it's an extra opportunity for me to get to know the offenders and help them, encourage them through their recovery. Most people may not know that when somebody is sentenced on a felony, if they're put on supervision in the community, I only see them again when they do something wrong. And so for the first 6 years I worked in this job, I was only ever seeing people when they did things wrong. And so starting the drug court program gave me an opportunity to meet once a week with the people working on their recovery and encourage them and celebrate with them when they passed milestones or got jobs or were reunited with their children or some of the more encouraging things that happen.
Oh, and reunited with children. I can just imagine the joy that comes with something like that. And I know for my experience and also the shared experience that some pastor friends of mine have that work with the population that is dealing with addiction issues, it's incredibly frustrating work, or messy is perhaps an overused term, but messy it is. That people raise up and do well, then they disappear and they're not doing so well. We're always, the pastors usually are working with people who are still skirting around having trouble with the law because they're in homes or on the streets and that. And we find that we both like people and we're incredibly frustrated by people. Is this something you're sharing then?
I would say that's true. And I, you know, I think that when people think about felony crime, because the court I deal with is the felony court, Judge Von Allman locally has misdemeanors, and she also runs a recovery court. But most people think about felony crime as all scary. These are people that we should be afraid of. Not everybody is somebody we should be afraid of. But for that population committing felony crime that is driven by their addiction, it does get really frustrating because what we try to do is put in place ways for them to get help, ways to pull out of that, some way to get back to working and being clean and sober and reunify with your families. And it becomes, I guess we do become weary, myself and the probation staff and the counseling staff, when people fail to engage or fail to take advantage of those things. And there are times, I bet I say it every week, I really want you to succeed. I'll say it to somebody every week. And there are some days when it seems like we want them to succeed more than they do. But then you find out that it's usually because there's something else going on. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while sometimes, especially with the addiction, for them to become clean and sober. And then you find out what lies underneath. Sometimes in my training, they talk about the iceberg. We've seen this tip at the top, but we don't see what's underneath. And once they're clean and they're sober and they finally are no longer self-medicating, we find for a lot of these people, they've got serious trauma and things that have happened in their lives that none of us would want to imagine. And so I try to keep that in mind as well, that when I'm really frustrated with someone, there's probably something else going on, and to just give them a little grace. But at the same time, I have to balance that with my position in the judiciary, that we're also here for law and order, and there is a punitive part of what we're doing.
Yeah. And so first off, there's a couple things you said there that I felt like reacting to, is that it's definitely true. Having seen many people through different phases of dealing with addiction, is that one of the truths in there is there's some kind of pain and they're medicating it. And so the person with an addiction, and I even include pornography addictions, things like that, they're medicating pain. And it's easy enough, well, maybe not easy, but it's straightforward enough to say, well, here you're doing something self-destructive. Well, you need to stop that. And usually they're all for stopping it too. But you've got to understand, well, what's causing pain is going to come back. You know, it's probably still there, and you need a different plan. And then it comes down to some choices. And choices sometimes not so great. It's interesting in the Bible verse, you know, where St. Paul tells us, well, let's not grow weary of doing good. That when you read a scripture like that, you need to realize that Paul feels would then say the possibility of growing weary in doing good is a very real possibility. That you won't be proceeding into this task Jesus gave of being a light to the world and water to the thirsty and bread for the hungry, that you won't grow tired of it or be very much tempted to it. But he also, since he's commanding us that, it's something that we can press on. And I know I would say you're gonna find strength in God to do these things. That it's the Holy Spirit which becomes a source of what we are trying to do. And Paul's definitely not saying, well, follow these simple steps and it'll sort out great. You know, this first century church just did not say, well, we should have this world sorted out in another couple of dozen years. That's not
right.
That's not what they saw.
Right.
Yeah. So well, there's, yeah, go ahead.
When it says not to grow weary in doing good, and I think about those times when it felt like we weren't making any progress. And I would week after week see a group of people. Some weeks, some groups do great and for a long time. And then we've gone through spells. And I say we, it would be my whole treatment team, where it just seems like nobody's making progress. And I think that's where that weariness sets in. And the Bible verse says that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. And so it's good to remind myself, it's good for me to remind myself that it's all in its proper time. And for some of the people, they leap into recovery and just embrace it and succeed and are passionate about it. Most of them are the ones who reconnect with a church, reconnect with God, or, you know, learn about God, Jesus, the Bible, the Word, and find that strength. But, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. And so I think that second part of the verse, I'm looking at the NIV version, that at the proper time we will reap a harvest. And so it gives you that hope, and maybe that extra energy to show up another week and see if anyone's done better, you know?
Yeah. I know that, I guess you and I both kind of wanted to emphasize that maybe as we look at a world with some people obviously got some tremendous problems and they act out terrible ways. They make some extremely poor choices, and they're walking lost to religion. That it's worth just saying how deep some of the problems folks have go. For me to share, I usually had it memorized. I know of a family of the Appalachian white poor. In other words, they've been generational Appalachian style family, and I know enough to track them from grandparents to children to grandchildren. And when you looked at this group of people, which is no more than a dozen people, you've got two stays in mental institutions, three imprisonments, nearly half of them were homeless at some point. There were several at-risk pregnancies. There were two children lost before the age of seven. There have been stretches of unemployment for every single one of them. And they also, they ran the table on divorce and child sexual abuse. That every single one of the women, was abused at some time. But not to paint too dim a picture, if you met any one of them on a given day, they're pretty nice people. And in fact, there was hope and there was engagement in that. But this is what they were struggling with. And right. Oh yes, nobody had graduated from college, and a couple had not finished high school. And you just found that, you know, generationally they're not thriving, and they're running up against this. But at each point, if a church runs into a member of this family, there's many points for a church to be able to touch them and help them. And in other words, actually, they're presenting needs, and usually you can see them rather than having to discover them.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And it is. It's everywhere. And you're right. You don't always see it, but sometimes you do. It is generational. We certainly, for the time that I've been on the bench since 1999, there are some families where we're seeing maybe the third generation already. Definitely brothers and sisters and uncles and parents that have been through the system. And you just, you know, always hope that there's going to be that one that breaks out. I like being able to present to people a different outlook And even if they're not in drug court, even if it's just a sentencing hearing, I get a report that I can look at that gives me a little bit of a personal history. And I like to try and find something in the report to say, you know, look, you have this going for you. Or, you know, maybe they went to a vocational school and learned a trade. And, or maybe, whatever. I just try to find something positive or just point them in a direction. And we have a really good probation staff that will do the same thing. And just when they realize somebody is maybe pretty smart and introduced to them for the first time, the possibility of going to Kent or the possibility of going to Buckeye Adult Career Center and learning a trade or a new skill. And so it is rewarding to be able to be that encourager and try to help people see their way and show that you care what they do next.
Yeah. And I think I've found that a church, if it's patient enough to bring people into the circle, you begin to find they'll run up against people in church who just simply can help them to see some things as that they always thought were givens and normal. It's not as no, they don't have to be that way. No, actually, everybody in our family sits down to a meal and we don't start in on a loud argument. You know, by golly, it can be done, you know. Or
And you find out that not everybody sits down for breakfast with their mom and lights up an illegal substance. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, the things that some of the people grow up with are just shocking. Yeah. And still shocking to me, you know.
We are trying to, we both faced it, and we're talking about what actually the whole community, the church community and the New Philadelphia Dover community are facing. There are a lot of difficult problems out there, difficult situations. They've changed quickly. Just in our own careers, the lifetime of our careers, so fast that we don't have tried solutions. We don't have tested solutions. These we're having the things we're trying out, like your drug court. And the Bible gives us promise. Well, in due season, we will reap a harvest. And I believe not just hearing later on how in heaven how happy people were that I reached out to them at some point. That's going to happen. That'll really happen. I have every confidence that will happen. But in due season, we will see something, some turnaround, some effect of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Well, and adding to that, it's if we do not give up. So it's not only, yes, you're going to be weary in doing good, and there is going to be a proper time for that harvest, but it also finishes with, if we do not give up.
Oh, and yeah, that's a qualifying clause. It's a conditional clause, isn't it?
So, you know, it's just a reminder that you can't, you know, grow weary and then just wait around for the proper time. Mm-hmm. You have to persevere and keep doing it through that weariness. You can't give up. That just sort of jumped off the page at me while you were talking, like, oh, right, don't give up.
I was telling the guys when we met this morning, you know, one of the things, remember, you got to finish strong. You know, to say, I have been working at this for 30 years. So much work has been done. Well, you might need to finish out. You know, actually complete your time and not stop. You know, that famously, if you decide to swim across Lake Erie and train for it, and then stop swimming 10 feet from shore, you still drown. You know, just you know.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I will tell you that just because I know we don't have that ton of time, that I have seen some harvest. And I think that the people, Christians, people who are connected with churches, especially some of the churches locally that have really reached out to the recovery community, have made a huge difference. And often I will have graduates of the program stop by and see me. One man stopped by with his college ID. He wanted to show me that he had gotten into college. Somebody stopped by who got a job with as a recovery counselor. He went on and went to college and got certified and was working as a recovery counselor in a faith-based residential program. And one girl stopped by my office to show me her healthy baby and tell me how happy she was that this child was not born or did not grow during a period of her use. And she was able to keep her baby, you know. And probably one of the best stories is a guy who got connected, reconnected with his church or got connected with a church during the program and was employed and doing really well and graduated and started seeing a female that was also in the program who had also been going to church. And after he graduated, he actually was on his way to work and witnessed an auto accident and stopped to help the driver of the car, a young man, a high school student, praying with him until help could arrive. And he wrote about this on Facebook and shared it with the world. Just a beautiful story, and thinking he wouldn't have been there if he had not been clean and sober. He has since married the woman and they've had a child. And probably one of the biggest joys was the day after the child was born, he showed up at drug court to show the picture to me and the probation officer.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. One day later. So, you know, there are some there is some harvest. And it's really nice to see that, you know, there's good reason not to give up.
Yeah. Well, I'm impressed because I was trying to visualize what would have made some friends I knew back in the day want to see their judge or probation officer again, you know, after.
Right. I won't say that many people darken my door by choice, but when they do, it's nice. You know, when they do choose to share those things, it's really rewarding.
Yeah. Well, I think we established that when you reflect on the scripture, you know, that weariness will be one of the things we face, and that also certain problems we're likely to not go away. I mean, certainly if we sort out one person, well, there are another dozen waiting, you know, that we have. And you contributed how, well, we must not give up. And we both see that St. Paul saying we will bear fruit in due time. And now you working with the criminal courts that's one aspect of this community working this way. And look at the wonderful fruit. You know, look at the great things that can come, particularly for something that's it's usually a huge negative when anybody comes before you. You know that, yeah. You know, because I mean, not everything about my life is positive and affirming, but I don't have too much trouble keeping away from felonies. So there's a light spot, and so. I think if you're with our church listening this, first off, you have every encouragement to take St. Paul at his word and say, look, you know, don't grow weary. God has called you to some place of outreach. And God has also given you all those moments for prayer that you can't, you know, don't stop, you know, don't stop it. You're going to find the fruit in all this. I know, but, and the church community is so important to, you know, you not only are all the things we're trying to do, individually, but if we are a body that receives hurting people, people that are undergoing some kind of affliction, we can just by the mere fact that we're a community of other people who care, we already have such an influence and put Jesus at the center of that, and find that we can work with him as the source, as this Holy Spirit is showing us. Well, we'll just see miracles. That's what I see. So now I'm excited.
And Paul continues, like you read earlier in verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. And he does say, especially those in the family of believers. But I think that we have those opportunities. You don't have to be a judge or a probation officer, that we all have those opportunities, because what really works is relationships. And just having somebody say, I care about what happens to you, can be a huge first step.
Yeah. And I noticed that Paul said, especially to those who are of the household of faith, by all means, but I would say you can especially lift up those in the court system, and those in law enforcement, and those that are now in that system sorting out from something they've done, because these are neighbors. I know when we would talk about support from my Minerva Church for the Tobin Center up in Columbiana County and the chaplaincy there, I said, well, these are your kids, your neighbor's kids anyway. You will in 2 years, 2-3 years time have some kid you know heard of go to the Tobin Center, and don't you want a good chaplain waiting for them? You know that. Yeah, this isn't something that's going on with other people that you'll never meet.
Very true. Very true. No one is immune from these struggles. Mm-hmm. Nobody is immune.
Yeah. So we'll probably should get around to close about what's the ratio, what's the percentage of cases that come across your desk that are drug related? I mean, that are addiction is somewhere the root or a contributing cause.
It's got to be 90%.
90%.
And I would say when I was a new judge, it was alcohol, marijuana, and cocaine. Uh-huh. And now it goes, usually it goes from marijuana to prescription drug abuse to heroin, fentanyl, methamphetamine. And right now our biggest thing is methamphetamine. So, yeah.
90%.
Yeah. It just seems like it drives things. There are few things, you know, few crimes that are driven by other prurient interests, and some crimes that are purely greed. But I would say 90% of them are people involved in illegal drugs, and their crimes, you know, drives their criminal life.
So they're saying there's very few people who are out to steal their Aunt Edith's pearl necklace and pawn it, and they get caught. This happens on TV, but it doesn't happen around here. So
they'll
steal, you want to buy drugs.
They'll steal from their families so they can go buy their drugs. That's the sad thing. But
I was just thinking a good old-fashioned detective novel. If it didn't have anything to do with drugs, that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of just pure theft. You know, it's usually, I mean, anything that's going to impair your judgment, you know, or keep you from kind of slow down your ambition in So, yeah, unfortunately, it is a large problem.
Yeah. And well, I think at that point, too, you need to recognize that addiction, it is a spiritual problem. I mean, there are many, you know, down the earth, secular and tried and true ways to approach it. But most people struggling with addiction would describe it as just a nightmare of the spirit, that compulsions and decisions they're not making well, just, you know, who am I and what am I doing? These are all spiritual travails, and Jesus has an answer for these. So I'm hoping people will be moved to pray if as a very much beginning, you know, with we have friends and neighbors under oppression. So
yeah.
Well, I think we are about to the end of our time that, as I usually say, what a reasonable person would want to sit and listen to you and I talk.
Right.
And someday we'll have the two most interesting people in the world talking here, and we don't have the two of them. You're very interesting, but
well, I appreciate that you invited me. This is fun. It's been fun.
Well, then we're getting ready to close. Did you have anything else you wanted to share, Elizabeth?
I would just encourage the congregation to pray for the recovery community. And there is a large faith-based movement in this county to support that community. And, you know, I think if we just continue to lift them in prayer, that, I mean, this problem is much, much bigger than anything I can do from my position. And so I just have to remind myself to turn it over to God.
That way. That's true. Well, then let's turn this over to God in prayer before we close. Father, I just ask that first you strengthen the hand of those that are working in through the court system and law enforcement as they come up against this, particularly as we've lifted up some of the problems that are so deep seated in families and rooted in addiction. And Lord, we ask your son Jesus to be among us with power and with strength to defeat these strongholds of evil, that Lord, to call people from death into life, and also Lord, to make a way and work your miracles. Lord, encourage us to keep on praying so that we can see and hear and in due time know the miracles of recovery and help that have happened. And just thank you, Lord, for those that listen today, and help us to always turn to your word, to your truth, and receive that guidance we needed as we have today. This in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We're closing, and so I hope that you all will join us for one of our other podcasts in this Walking with Jesus series. And thank you, Elizabeth, for being with us today.
Thank you. Bye.